In a Biden-Harris administration, women are going to be a priority, understanding that women have many priorities.
An historic U.S. presidential election. It's Friday, January 1st, 2021. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. As VOA Asia looks back at a very difficult year and forward to hope for the better. Also ahead, Islamic State continues to terrorize, climate change continues, fighting COVID with tech, busy U.S. lawmakers, and farming through uncertainty. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Women were the primary group that helped secure President-elect Joe Biden's electoral victory. They gave him 57% of their vote in 2020, compared with 42% for President Donald Trump. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara has this report looking back on Trump's policies on women and Biden's campaign promise of ensuring full inclusion and gender equality.
They marched in 2017, 2018, 2019, and in 2020. President Donald Trump has faced low approval ratings from female voters since he began campaigning in 2016 amid allegations of misconduct against women.
Totally and absolutely false.
Until the 2020 election.
The fake news keeps saying that suburban women don't like me because I don't sound nice. I don't have time to be nice. I got a lot of work to do for you.
Trump tried to roll back Obama-era rules against gender-based pay discrimination and workplace sexual harassment, which the administration says put too much burden on businesses. The Trump administration disbanded the White House Council on Women and Girls, an agency that advocates for their needs in administration policies. Trump also cut federal funds from reproductive service providers that offer abortion, including funding for the United Nations Population Fund.
He is a president that supports moms. He's a president that supports life.
Activists are pushing for the Biden administration to overturn these policies.
The need for the Biden-Harris administration and all of these agencies is to both consider what's needed proactively and what needs to be pulled back and what needs to be restored. And so it's critical that all of those things are considered in terms of the policy priorities.
Biden's agenda for women includes improving economic security through equal pay and ending pregnancy discrimination, work-family balance, including parental leave and child care, access to health care, ending violence against women, and empowering women around the world. He has selected a record number of women and minorities for top posts, including for vice president.
In a Biden-Harris administration, women are going to be a priority, understanding that women have many priorities.
Under Trump, there were at most four women serving at any one time among the 15 cabinet positions, the lowest among recent administrations. Another sharp divide is on abortion. Biden, a devout Catholic, has said he is personally opposed to it, but believes that abortion is part of a woman's reproductive right protected by law. Meanwhile, supporters call Trump the most pro-life president.
What we see most explicitly in the last two cycles is that that is one of the issues that has also motivated support for Donald Trump because of his promise to appoint pro-life justices to the Supreme Court.
Biden is expected to reverse some of Trump's actions restricting abortion and other policies on reproductive health. Patsy Whitaker-Sawara, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China grants first approval of homegrown COVID-19 vaccine. Alarm in Australia as COVID-19 infections grow. Lao plan to build another big Mekong Dam dismays villagers, concerns ties. U.S. warships sail Taiwan Strait for second time this month. U.S. slaps import ban on Malaysian palm oil producer. Find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more by visiting Facebook at VOA Asia and stop by our voanews.com website. As we continue with VOA Asia, a year after its territorial defeat in Iraq and Syria, the Islamic State managed to mount dozens of deadly attacks in 2020 around the world, from the Middle East to Africa to Europe. Namo Abdullah has more from Washington.
This is the aftermath of an Islamic State IS attack last month on Afghanistan's Kabul University. Nearly three dozen people, mostly students, died. The mass shooting was only one of dozens of attacks IS managed to pull off globally in 2020, in the month after President Donald Trump announced the territorial defeat of the extremist group.
The United States military, our coalition partners, and the Syrian Democratic Forces have liberated virtually all of the territory previously held by ISIS in Syria and Iraq. It should be formally announced sometime, probably next week, that we will have 100% of the caliphate.
Pockets of IS resistance remain in Syria and Iraq, where they continue to stage attacks. And in France, more attacks. A funeral at another university. The Sorbonne in Paris was the venue to pay tribute to Samuel Paty, a schoolteacher decapitated in October by a radical Islamist after showing caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad to his class. France is one of few Western countries fighting terrorism in Africa, where observers say the loss of the caliphate has had little impact on the terror group's growing activities.
Overall, when we're looking at the trajectory of the Islamic State in Africa, it's pushing on an open door. There are opportunities for the group to continue to exploit the local conflicts that it has so embedded itself into. There is a lack of interest, frankly, in Western partners in getting embroiled in African conflicts.
President Trump campaigned on getting the country out of protracted conflicts overseas, which led him to reduce U.S. troop levels in Somalia, Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq. But in areas such as Iraq's northern oil-rich disputed territories, some experts warn that IS, also known as ISIS, is already exploiting the lack of trust between local residents and the Iraqi military and Shia militia groups deployed to protect them.
There is a basic unwillingness coupled with incompetence and corruption in the local Iraqi security and judicial apparatus that makes the survival and ongoing insurgency of ISIS in these areas possible.
When it comes to the jihadist threat, 2020 could be considered a good year for the U.S., since radical Islamists did not carry out any deadly attacks. But in Europe, jihadists have taken at least 9 lives, virtually the same number they killed in 2019. Namo Abdullah, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, media tycoon and activist Jimmy Lai has had his bail revoked after prosecutors succeeded in asking the city's highest court to send him back to detention. Authorities initially charged him with fraud, but have since added foreign collusion. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us as we begin a brand new year together on VOA Asia. Although COVID-19 dominated 2020, climate change did not stop. VOA's Steve Barragona has a look back at progress and disasters in the fifth year since the landmark UN Paris Agreement on climate change.
In 2020, wildfires set records from California to Siberia. The Atlantic spawned more hurricanes than ever recorded. 2020 will be the hottest or second hottest year on record. As the planet's fever rose, the world came down with COVID-19. The coronavirus pandemic emptied streets and grounded air travel. That lowered planet-warming carbon emissions by a record 7%. But that's nothing to celebrate, says World Resources Institute Director Dan Lashoff.
Clearly, the emission reductions that we've seen in 2020 due to COVID are not the right way to reduce emissions. No question about that. And most of them are potentially quickly reversible as the economy recovers.
Fundamental changes are needed around the world, he says. Some countries stepped up this year, says Columbia University law professor Michael Girard.
The single most important climate policy event of the last year was probably President Xi of China announcing China's goal of getting to net zero emissions by 2060. Several of the countries in Europe also increased their climate ambition. So much of the rest of the world is moving in this direction.
And I have to say,
the United States, under President Donald Trump, has been moving in the opposite direction, he says, loosening environmental regulations and boosting fossil fuel production. But Joe Biden's victory over Trump in November marks a new direction, he says.
There's no question that President-elect Biden is going to do a 180 from what President Trump has done.
Biden has made fighting climate change a top priority. A divided Congress may limit how far he can go to rein in emissions, though. States may go further, like California's governor did this year, ordering an end to gas-powered car sales by 2035. Banks and investors cooled on fossil fuels this year, too. Major banks said they will not invest in Arctic oil and gas projects. And the U.S. Federal Reserve called for climate action for the first time, Lashoff notes.
The idea that climate change poses a serious threat to the U.S. financial system has totally gone mainstream, and 2020 was really the year that that took hold.
2020 marks the five-year anniversary of the U.N. Paris Agreement to fight climate change. But the world is nowhere near the goals that leaders set to stop dangerous global warming, says UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
But the commitments made in Paris were far from enough to get there, and even those commitments are not being met.
The world's fever kept rising in 2020, and scientists say time is running out to bring it down. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. 2021 is making its way across the world. Blue and gold fireworks soared into the sky above the Sydney Opera House, but without revelers in person. Taipei welcomed 2021 with fireworks at the country's tallest building. Follow all of the New Year's stories online at VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, people around the world turn to technology to help them get through the pandemic. But in some key ways, tech fell short. Michelle Quinn reports.
People have turned to technology as never before during the pandemic. Work, school, visiting the doctor, staying close to friends and family. For better or worse, it's been a year for technology to showcase how it can play an even bigger part in people's lives. Eric Reese is the author of The Lean Startup.
There's no question that for millions of people, tech was a lifesaver.
Eric Reese is a serial entrepreneur who speaks about innovation. At the beginning of the pandemic, he was thrilled to see tech companies, entrepreneurs, and technologists jump into action, trying to help. In the spring, Google and Apple created a historic partnership to use smartphones to notify people if they had been exposed to the virus. But then, projects stalled. A smartphone app from the Google-Apple partnership was released in California in December.
We have to judge that whole effort a failure because it took such a long time to get any of these apps deployed. Can you have imagined at the beginning of the crisis someone had said we would have a vaccine successfully deployed before contact tracing apps? Or, you know, they would go live at the same time. I mean, one of them is a Herculean effort of science and the other is relatively easy.
Such efforts were stymied by a lack of central coordination among governments, a lack of understanding in tech circles of who makes decisions at the local level and how best to reach them, Reese said.
There was nobody to interface with. And as that horror dawned on people, this is not something that Silicon Valley is especially good at. We're so used to the model of kind of the lone wolf, you know, new innovator, and we didn't do a very good job at that.
Kamika Dempsey is a member of the COVID-19 Technology Task Force, created to do just that, connect technologists and governments. Technology's inequity, she said, has been a sore spot of the pandemic.
You have people who are in rural communities in the country that don't actually have access to broadband. You see things like people not having access to laptops, cell phones, tablets, et cetera, in order to be able to connect, to learn, to work, to do the things that they need to do.
The pandemic, she says, has recalibrated what's important in technology.
Technology today, in light of this pandemic, is really going back to the heart of the best innovations that have ever come about. They are born out of necessity and solving a true problem for someone in need.
Silicon Valley has learned a lot in its pandemic response. How it will take those lessons forward into 2021 remains to be seen. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Oakland, California.
There is no current evidence that dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria, such as E. coli and Salmonella, that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit www.who.int or www.cdc.gov.
Now on VOA Asia, from a Senate impeachment trial to the largest aid package in U.S. history, U.S. lawmakers were kept very busy in 2020, even as many had to work and vote remotely because of the coronavirus pandemic. VOA's Catherine Gibson looks back at an historic political year.
The impeachment of U.S. President Donald Trump consumed Congress as 2020 began.
Donald Trump is going to get away with abusing his position of power.
In just the third Senate impeachment trial in American history, Trump was ultimately acquitted of charges he leveraged U.S. aid to Ukraine to target political rival Joe Biden.
President of the United States is not guilty as charged in the first article of impeachment.
While history may not remember or might be a footnote about exactly why he was impeached, I think the Democrats were trying to lay the groundwork or at least plant their flag that this president deserved to be impeached.
But the coronavirus pandemic quickly overwhelmed political debate. By late March, lockdowns to stop the spread of the virus had endangered the U.S. economy, pushing Congress to pass the largest aid package in American history.
Lives are at stake. This is not a time for name-calling or playing politics.
Passage of the $3 trillion CARES Act was a rare moment of agreement in 2020.
When Congress wants to do something, even an incredibly expensive package that has a litany of provisions in it that touch basically all factors of the economy, when they want to do something, they can.
But Congress struggled to adapt to new ways of operating to avoid the virus.
The United States Congress was one of the last institutions to make any adjustments. And even when they did, with some remote hearings and some limited remote voting, those accommodations were very temporary and definitely not fully embraced by all members of Congress.
No justice!
In June, amid nationwide protests over the death of George Floyd while in police custody, lawmakers failed to pass an ambitious police reform proposal.
The country has given us the opportunity to lead. To lead. And my friends on the other side just said no.
Frustration continued as lawmakers failed for months to agree on another round of coronavirus aid. Democrats' $3 trillion HEROES Act failed in the Senate, where Republicans warned of overspending.
I don't think the current situation demands multi-trillion-dollar package. So I think it should be highly targeted.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
In October, Judge Amy Coney Barrett confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court by the Republican majority Senate against Democratic objections.
The Republican Senate majority decided to thwart the will of the people and confirm a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court in the middle of a presidential election.
That election decided the next occupant of the White House, Democrat Joe Biden. But 2020 closed with more uncertainty on Capitol Hill. Runoff elections in January for Georgia's two Senate seats will decide which party will control the Senate for the next 2 years. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
U.S. farmers entered 2020 cheered by an easing of America's trade war with China that had disrupted lucrative agricultural exports. VOA's Cain Faribault reports that any optimism was short-lived as farmers weathered a year of upheaval thanks to whipsaw market fluctuations brought on by the coronavirus pandemic.
After securing a Phase 1 agreement with China in January, temporarily cooling a heated trade dispute between the United States and one of the largest markets for its crops, farmers like Brian Duncan were optimistic.
No matter if you liked how we got there or not, we were feeling that we were ready to move forward with some trade. And then obviously COVID hit in March.
But even as the U.S. economy shut down in many parts of the country to prevent the spread of the virus, panic was initially hard to find on Scott Halpin's farm.
Fortunately, we're just a family farm and it's just a few of us, so we don't have a great deal of exposure, but we still have to get up and feed these animals because they don't really care if we have COVID-19 or not.
But the virus reached workers at several meat processing plants, curbing production that created a ripple effect through the U.S. food chain, leading to an oversupply of livestock and an undersupply of meat on store shelves.
The market's fallen off a cliff the last 2 weeks. Hogs on our farm, the prices dropped 50%.
The market for soybeans, a key source of feed for livestock, also tanked along with prices for corn, which, when converted to ethanol, is used in gasoline. Demand for fuel plummeted when motorists stayed home to avoid the virus. Corn is Fred Greeter's key source of income.
Every one of my corn acres produces enough fuel for about 80 cars to run on through the year. So for each car that's parked or miles reduced, it directly affects the demand for ethanol, which is the primary use of our corn.
Billions in government aid flowed to farmers to help soften the blow of market disruptions caused by a shuttered economy. Now, although the U.S. is grappling with the deadliest phase of the pandemic to date, the food supply chain is stable. China is also buying more U.S. crops, fueling optimism and price increases for agricultural products.
They've got huge needs, and they've exhausted supply in Brazil. I mean, Brazil's actually buying some grain from us now to carry them through till their harvest comes.
With this year's harvest complete, U.S. farmers are looking at new uncertainty in 2021 as the incoming administration of President-elect Joe Biden tackles the pandemic, inherits a trade war, and installs new agency heads key to farm policy, such as the U.S. Department of Agriculture or USDA. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack, who held the post under President Barack Obama, is Biden's choice as well.
To some extent, it's going to be Biden wanting to go back to what he believes would be the successful policies of the Obama administration.
University of Iowa political science professor Tim Hagel says it won't be easy or practical for the incoming Biden administration to undo some of the policies enacted under President Donald Trump.
And they have to combine that idea of the old and the new and deal with today's reality.
A reality that many farmers who might not have voted for Biden are coming to terms with.
I hope this administration, like any administration, would look out for rural America, would continue to want trade deals. All those things I'm hopeful we'll get. It's just too soon to know for sure, but I'm gonna hope for the best.
Cain Faribault, VOA News, Bloomington, Illinois.
That's our program for today. Continue with us online on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. On any of the platforms, just look up VOA Asia. You'll find us there. On this New Year's Day, we're all very happy to turn a page from the previous year as we look forward to hopefully a better year. We're happy to have started the year with you at VOA Asia, and we thank our team that helps bring you this program each and every day, our managing editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We wish you all a very happy new year. Be safe. Be well.